am delighted that you have found the Mindset Mental Meets podcast. I'm Angela Cox, your host and indeed the Mindset Mentor, and I'll be interviewing executives and founders at the top of their game to find out what lies beneath. I want to know what makes people proud, how they define success, what holds them back, and indeed what drives them forward. This is authentic and natural conversation with the best in the business. So listen in, enjoy, and if you love what you hear, please do leave a review. And now, over to today's guest. And my guest today is the wonderful Kelly Cooks. Now, she is the Chief Commercial Officer at Advantage Travel Partnership. And before that, she did several years working in different senior positions within Thomas Cook, one of which was super exciting, and she'll be able to tell us about in a second. She's one of the most positive leaders I have ever had the pleasure to meet. So I know this podcast is going to be full of joy. Kelly, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's an absolute joy. And you must start by telling us a little bit more about your adventures when you were at Thomas Cook.
Oh, well, I spent many years, as you said, with Thomas Cook. And as is often the case in a big company like that, got the opportunity to work across lots of different departments, head up lots of different divisions within the company. I also got the opportunity to spend quite a lot of time overseas exploring the product. And I've even spent a year overseas working at Universal Studios, which was definitely a career highlight for me.
I mean, that's a gig, that, isn't it? You know, most of us pay to go there for a couple of weeks, but you get to spend the whole year there, part of your work. That is nice job if you can get it, Kelly.
Was a fantastic year, and I did absolutely get a free pass to the parks, which is the first question anybody ever asks when you say that you worked there. So I did, and I've now become a lifelong fan of Orlando, and I've been back many times, so it was definitely a highlight of my career.
I love that, and I love it when people feel so passionate about what they do, and it just comes through in your voice as you talk about all the different things that you do in your career. And we might get into those today on the pod, because you're here to talk to me about your three proudest moments, and that can cover work and home. So I'm looking forward to seeing what you've got for us, Kelly. Shall we kick off with your first one?
Absolutely. And I thought long and hard about these because I have listened to a number of your podcasts and you have had some very inspirational guests that have done some quite amazing things, including running marathons and things like that. So I don't have anything like that. So I really did have to dig deep for these.
It's a real tall order, isn't it? Some of the guests that we've had have done like the most remarkable things, but I always find the magic is in those moments where, you know, we've learned a lesson or something's gone wrong and we've had to come back from it. So it's not all about the big feats, and I'm sure you'll be able to find us things that will inspire us.
Do my best. So the first one for me is absolutely the life that I have with my family, which I know is not a moment as such. It's more a series of moments, but I, along with many other people that work and have careers, have had to work really hard on that balance. And as a manager, I also realise how important it is to demonstrate that to my team. So I'm happily married. I have two children. I have a 7-year-old little boy and a 5-year-old little girl. So one day I could be talking to a cruise line or an airline renegotiating a £1 billion deal. The next day I could be helping out with the PTA at the school. So it really is all about balance for me at the moment. So I think managing to get to the point where I feel like I can do both and have both, that is still a daily challenge. You know, there are those days when I don't feel like I've got it right. But overall, I'm really proud that I've managed to create the career that I have, but also I'm around and I'm very present with my family, which is very important to me.
Oh, I love that. You know, Kelly, it's such a burning question for so many women in terms of how can I have it all, and men as well, in terms of the balance between family and work. And I was speaking to somebody last week who said the best advice they were ever given was that you can't be a good parent and a good leader
at the same time. So you can be both, but you have to choose when you're going to be good leader and good parent. And I guess that's what you're talking about when you use that word present. When you're at home with the children, you're a good parent and not sort of trying to do emails while you're making the fish fingers. And then when you're at work, you're a good leader because your children are cared for and you can get on with the job. How do you actually create that? What's the secret to that?
I think that's a really different question. And I think it's something that's ongoing. I'm always learning about the balance and I've read lots of amazing books. In fact, one of the first books that I read was a text by a lady called Christine Armstrong. And I think it was called something like How to Have Children and a Career and Stay Sane Almost.
Oh, I love that.
Something like that. And it was a brilliant book. And it absolutely leads you to that conclusion that it is going to be an ongoing challenge. But for me, I think it's all about setting those boundaries and also having that support team around me. So I'm very lucky that I do have a really strong support network, but also I'm quite strict. So we were talking before this podcast and I was working this weekend. So I'll make sure that next weekend is completely dedicated to being the mum at the side of the football pitch, doing soft play and all of that kind of thing. So it does take quite a lot of diary juggling to do it.
Yeah.
But overall, I think it's just about being really strict with yourself and knowing that you can't do everything all the time. So I'm never going to be the mum that can do every school pickup.
Yeah.
But that's okay, because when I do the school pickups, I then will make sure that we can go to the park or we can do something afterwards. So I think it's just about finding that right balance for you and your family.
And you talk a lot about being a team with your other half as well.
I do. And we are definitely a team. We talk about that all the time. My husband has a career as well. He's got quite a senior position. And there is a lot of diary negotiation, we call it, that goes on in our house. And we work on the premise that whoever has it in the diary first, then that's what happens. And then we work around it. But we definitely tag team a lot and we support each other. So I do know that I'm not going to get that difficult situation that I know a lot of people get where they're feeling the pull at home. We kind of work that balance between us.
I love that little rule you've got there, though, about whoever's got it in the diary first, because we do have lists of things that we've got to get done as leaders, you know, as entrepreneurs or whatever your role is. And it can be challenging between couples to be able to do that and manage the kids. So I'm going to take that rule of yours and apply it at home, because I think that's a good one for us all to take. What's joyous about listening to you is that you've chosen how you run your family and balance that you have within it as a proud moment. And I think it's just lovely to hear, because so many people would take that as just a non-negotiable, has to happen, mess it up most days like we all do, but not see the pride in it. And I love the fact that you've connected it to pride, because it should be something that we feel proud of, creating that balance, because we work hard for it.
And I think I like to think that it also demonstrates to my family, what can be achieved.
Yeah.
So like I said, I've got a little girl. I come from a mother who worked and had a career. So that was definitely something that had a big impact on my life. And it is something that we're constantly having to juggle all the time. But I think when I had children, I have always been so driven and so career orientated. I knew that I didn't want to give that up, but I also knew I was going to have to work really hard to get that balance right.
Yeah, I love that. So work really hard to get the balance right. And when you put the effort in, it actually pays off and you can be a good parent and a good wife or partner and a good leader all at the same time. Just tell me a little bit about the weekend. You mentioned that you were working at the weekend. Are you allowed to say what you were doing?
I am, but now I feel like it sounds a little bit like I wasn't working when I described what I was doing. So
we're not working, Kelly.
So I, as part of my role, as you mentioned, I work in the travel industry. So I'm really lucky that I get invited to experience a lot of the products, particularly when our partners have something new to showcase. So this weekend, I was down in Southampton. I was on a P&O ship and they were launching their new evening show, which has been done in partnership with Nicole Scherzinger. So I had a meal and then we had a Q&A with Nicole and then we watched the show and stayed overnight. Oh. So it was absolutely work. If anybody else asks, it was work.
This is like Universal Studios all over again, Kelly. It's not work.
Well, I mean, it does sound like it is purely social, and a lot of it is. But in our industry, a lot of it is about networking. Yeah. And the times that you spend at these events are where some of the big deals are done. So that's how I'm justifying it.
And I need to know whether Nicole is as amazing in real life as she is when you see her on the TV.
She is. I mean, she is absolutely jaw-droppingly beautiful. you cannot say anything else about her. And it was really interesting to her listening to tell us a little bit about her life. She was talking about Hawaii, which is where she's from. And then she's just done quite a long run on Sunset Boulevard in London as well. She was talking a lot about that in her life. So really interesting to see, I guess, the side of her that you don't perhaps see usually.
Yeah, I bet it was fascinating. And oh my goodness, that is one way to spend a weekend if you have to work. Now, I'm fascinated to see what you're going to have for us next. So we've had one proud moment all about family. What would number two be?
Number two for me is reaching C-suites. I work in a very female-dominated industry, but for many years, it did lack having women in the senior roles. That's changing quite a lot, and it has been over the last 10 years or so. And when I came into this industry, I remember looking at some of these senior roles. And when you start out in your career, they just seem so far away and so unachievable. That was my goal. I knew that I wanted to make it to director level and ultimately to C-suite level. So that was what I was aiming for. I went through lots of different roles to get there. And some of them worked brilliantly, some of them perhaps not as much as I would have liked them to. But actually getting to the C-suite role is something that I've had in mind. My kind of mirror for a long time. So I feel really proud that I've got there. I think I'll never stop wanting to develop and grow, and there's always something new that you can learn in somebody that knows more than you about something. So I don't see myself stopping here, but getting to the level I've got to, I am really proud that I've done that in the industry that I'm in.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's lovely to hear that you've had the squiggly career, as they call it, to get to that level as well, because quite often when you're on the way up and that's your goal and that's what you're striving for, it can feel really frustrating when you have to take a sideways move, or, you know, you have to move firm or whatever to be able to make it happen. And it can feel like you're stalling or even sometimes going backwards. But there's so many people I speak to who are at the top of an organization who've had that squiggly career. And actually, each step that they've taken has contributed something to be able to get them to that goal. So it's lovely to hear that you've had that experience. And what was that like for you as you were moving your way up?
It definitely wasn't a straight path. I'm not sure there are many people now that have that. And for me, it certainly wasn't the case. I've done lots of sideways moves, lots of development roles. I've got into roles because I thought they might be for me. And when I've got in there, I've hated every minute of it and moved. And probably one of the biggest things for me was that I was still with Thomas Cook when they collapsed in 2019. I'd just come back from maternity leave, actually, after having my second child. Knew that she was going to be out. Last, you know, a family of four, we were absolutely finished at that point. And in my mind, there was going to be no more career breaks for me. And I was fully invested in getting back on that journey. Mm. And I'd been back for 2 weeks and Thomas Cook went under. Nice. And that was a complete curveball for me in my career. I mean, looking back now, what it did do is propel me to move and do something new, which I think turned out to be the best thing for me. But that night when that happened in that morning and I had to go in and speak to my team and we saw all of that kind of unravel, that was definitely something in my career that has left a mark.
Yeah. It's those moments, isn't it, that you reflect back on and you remember just how difficult they were. But actually, there's also that flip side, as you've just said, where you recognize that it led you and propelled you onto the next step, which has ultimately got you where you are. But when you're in it, it's so hard, isn't it? And it's that kind of trust in that old premise of this too shall pass, because it really doesn't feel like it when you're sitting listening to that news and wondering what on earth that's going to mean for you and your team.
No, it doesn't. And I think most of the time when you move roles, it's your own choice, isn't it? It's because you have seen something else that you like the look of, or you've been approached. And this was very much thrust upon me, and when I'd only just gone back as well. So I think what it did do is it made me really look at other options. And I'd been in that big corporate environment for such a long time. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to go into a different organisation. So the company that I work for now is member owned. So we're owned by our members. They're all shareholders. The board's a lot smaller, still a very big business, but in a very different way. And I think what it did is made me move to something that's helped me probably round out myself more than I ever would have done had that not happened, because I probably would have stayed, carried on doing different roles. Because in one of those big organizations like Thomas Cook, there's always so many different places to move to that you tend to just hop around rather than going out. And for me, that was what I needed at that point.
Yeah. So like everything, when something difficult happens, it really does lead to a step that usually pays dividends. And you've now got this role. I mean, you've been an Advantage Travel partnership for a couple of years now, maybe even three. But the role that you've got, how long have you held that for?
So I joined Advantage in 2019 and I joined as leisure director originally. And so I was in that role for 2 years and then I moved into the CCO role. So I've been doing this role for just under 2 years now.
How does it feel knowing that you've got the role that you've been striving for and you've got your team? How does that feel when you allow yourself a moment to just reflect on the fact that you've reached the goal?
You feel proud. I feel proud that I've got there. I think I still feel like there's more that I want to do and I've got more to give. So I don't feel like now that I've reached what I thought would be my goal, I'm going to stop. I think there's also that kind of imposter syndrome, isn't there, sometimes where you kind of sit back and you think, oh my goodness, how did I get here? And then you have that little chat with yourself and you think, actually, I've got here because I was ready to get here. You know, I've earned this and I deserve to be here. But definitely, I feel that it's been a journey. It definitely has been so far, but I feel immensely proud that I've done it. And with having a young family and with being part of the big collapse of Thomas Cook, I feel very proud that I've managed to get to where I've got to.
Yeah, proud. And then also that desire that you've got to know that you can continue to grow. So is it going to be CEO for you next? Is that the next goal?
I'd like to think that at some point that would be in my future, definitely. I think I'm still relatively new into this one. I mean, I've been doing it for 2 years now and there's quite a lot of change in the business. It's a growing business, so there's lots of opportunities. And commercial is really my background. You know, that's where I'm comfortable. It's where my love is. So I definitely think I've got some more breadth in this role. But absolutely, I'd like to think that I've got a different role and a bigger role in me at some point.
I can definitely see it. And I think you'd be so inspirational to other women when you make it into that CEO seat. I have no doubt that you're going to get there. So we've got this sort of striving for something, knowing that you're going to reach this aim of being in the C-suite and then making that happen with some adversity thrown in for good measure, the wonderful squiggly career. We've got the balance that you've managed to create at home with your family and, you know, getting the best of both worlds because you've got such a great partnership with your husband. So what's number three then in the list of things that you're proud of?
Three links a little bit back to what I was talking about around that imposter syndrome. And I think it's something that most people experience, I guess some more than others. And I've definitely had it in my career and still get it to a certain extent on some days. So I think my third one would be now being comfortable being myself and my true self and being, I like to think I'm an authentic leader. So I invest a lot of time in my team. I'm very conscious of how I operate and how I put myself across as an individual and that I want to build those relationships. And I've also had a lot of people that have supported me along the way. So I like to spend time, you know, giving back where I can, mentoring, spending time with the team. So I think that third one for me is finally being comfortable being myself and not feeling like I need to copy other people's styles or to take on other people's traits to deliver what they're delivering, just doing it my way.
Oh, I love that. Oh my God. I mean, Kelly, you could go and do some marketing for me on the website saying things like that, because literally that feeling of being comfortable to do it your way and not copy other people is part of the growth really towards moving into your authentic self. Because we do use copying and mimicking as a way to fit in and belong in environments, particularly at work, and particularly when we're sort of coming up through our late 20s, early 30s, it's a method that we use to be accepted. And to move away from that can be really tricky, but it sounds like from what you're saying, you've been able to do that. And you've been able to manage that feeling of imposter along the way. So just tell me a little bit more about the journey to actually get into that position, because it's remarkable.
And I still have days now where this does not go to plan. Don't get me wrong. I don't want people to listen to this and think I've got it all sorted, because I definitely don't. But I remember in various roles, one in particular, I remember I went in to present to a board at one point. And as I walked in, they were talking about rugby. And I thought, great, okay. And started talking about rugby. Now, I know absolutely nothing about rugby. I mean, what I know about rugby, you could fit on the back of a stamp. But I thought, right, okay, this is clearly how I'm going to fit in here. And ended up having this conversation about rugby where I tied myself up in knots, because people were asking me who I supported, who my favourite player was, what was the last match I'd been to see. And at that point, I thought to myself, right, next time, just tell people you don't know anything about rugby. It's not for you. And you can talk about football or something else. So many examples of that where that's happened, or where there's been somebody in a meeting that has started to deliver something in a style that I wouldn't do it. And I've seen myself automatically, when I've replied to them, start to emulate the same kind of approach. If it's not how you would deliver it, it never feels comfortable and it never feels right. And I've walked out of meetings thinking, I just didn't land that the way I wanted to. And 9 times out of 10, it's been because I veered away from the way that I would have normally done it, to try and deliver it in a way that I thought would get it across better or get the outcome. And it never really does.
It's so true that, I have this saying that once we take the mask off, I talk about the pretenders. Once we take the mask off, actually the pressure comes off. So whenever we're acting in a way that is somebody else's way of working, it feels so uncomfortable for us. It's so difficult. We just make it harder for ourselves. And I love the stories that you've told there, because you're reminding me of one of the things I used to do. I used to work with like what I would describe as really clever people in a consulting firm. And they'd sort of say, oh, have you read this book? And I'd say yes, because I didn't want to be the person that said no. And I'd never read the book. And then I'd think, oh, please don't ask me about it, because I'm not going to be able to answer any of your questions. But it's similar to what you were saying about the rugby thing. We get ourselves in these positions where we feel like we have to be somebody else to be accepted. And actually what we learn is, when we just say, oh, I don't know the first thing about rugby, we're not rejected in that moment. And we then have an opportunity to shape the conversation in a different way and build the relationship. So I really love those anecdotes, and they bring it to life for us. And I love that you said, you know, although you've got this down, there are still days when the imposter, you know, perks up, or you have feelings where you might not be able to do something, because that's just so natural, isn't it? So just tell me a little bit more about imposter syndrome and how you've got to manage that.
Everybody gets that sometimes. Well, maybe I should like to tell myself that everybody gets it sometimes. But, you know, I think there's always those days or those meetings that you go into and you just feel like everybody's a little bit further ahead than you are with whatever you're discussing. It could be something really small as well that triggers it. And now what I try to do is just have a little bit of a moment, have a little chat with myself in my head and think that, you know, don't start to blow this up into something that it isn't. But it's definitely happened to me before where, you know, I've been in a meeting and somebody started discussing something in depth, or they've used an acronym or something that you don't know. And you suddenly start thinking, oh, my goodness, this person is an expert on this and I don't know it. How on earth are we going to do this negotiation? But I think that's where, if you are, or you try to be your true self, actually, it's OK to ask or to clarify or to change the conversation round, like you said, to something that is more comfortable. I try and manage it now. I mean, it definitely rears its head less than it did, but there are absolutely still those moments where it does.
Yeah, and you know, you were right when you said most people get it. I mean, pretty much every single executive I work with, you know, successful, high-performing people still have this imposter syndrome feeling. I think it's linked to limiting beliefs, really, that we all carry, that we have to learn to manage. But when we do manage it and we know how to reframe it, as you're describing there, then the power it has over us seems to diminish. So it doesn't mean that we don't ever have times where we feel that feeling, but it's not going to disable us as it does if we're not managing it appropriately. So it sounds like from what you're saying, in terms of this moving closer and feeling comfortable with the real you, there are a lot of techniques that you are onboarding around reframing your thoughts, around putting things into perspective and thinking about what else it could mean, around being true to yourself when, you know, you don't know something about rugby or you haven't read the book in my case, and being prepared to voice that without then it making you feel like you're lesser than. And that's a process that if we can all learn to do that, we'll all have this moment of pride that you're enjoying, because it's a huge step and not many people know how to make the step. So it's, you know, we talked at the beginning about marathons, but for me, what you've just described, it's bigger than a marathon because it's harder and it takes more effort and it takes a lot of self-awareness. So I love that you've brought that one, Kelly.
I think it takes a while to get to that point, doesn't it? And it definitely is always a journey. And I tend to find, particularly in leaders, because we're driven, aren't we? That's why we are aspiring to leaders. We're driven. We want to be the best person in the room. And that automatically, I think, brings that self-doubt sometimes when we perhaps feel like we're not.
Yeah, so it's sort of like a continuum between either imposter syndrome or what I like to call elitism, where, you know, someone thinks that they're the best in the room and therefore has a lack of self-awareness about everybody else. We almost like go between those two extremes. We've got to try and find the bit in the middle where the real us actually exists, and self-awareness is the key to that. It's fascinating, isn't it?
It's interesting. I think it's something you definitely learn, and you see in other people as well, don't you? Like, you see those people that you feel are uncomfortable or they're very comfortable. And the natural thing to do is to copy those that look like they're more comfortable. But it's not always the case that what they're displaying externally is what they're feeling internally.
Absolutely. The swimming swan, as I like to call it. So, I mean, we've got a family orientated proud moment, the balance that, you know, we're all striving for, particularly as women. We've got the work one, the idea of achieving a goal, going after a goal, knowing that you're going to get there and stepping over the adversity and leaning into it and moving forwards. And then really this last one about being you contributes to both of those, doesn't it, in terms of connection, because to get to the C-suite, you know, if you can do that and be you, then you're not going to have burnout and you're not going to have a personal cost at getting to the top. And if you can be you at home, then it makes everything much easier because you can speak up and say what's on your mind and be able to make, you know, smooth things over when challenges crop up. So it's like it's almost like a whole 360 list that you're presenting to us today, Kelly.
Okay. We'll see. You could ask me again in a few months and see if it's all still the same.
I tell you, I was thinking you could write a book next on all of this. Like, you've got it nailed. It's absolutely amazing. But you've got it nailed, underpinned with humility, because you're not sitting here saying that it's easy. You know, there are some difficult parts to it as well. And that's what's so refreshing to hear. So can't wait then to see what you're going to put for the secret to your success. It's a question that I always ask at the end, towards the end of the podcast, and everybody says something different. So if you were going to summarize what the secret to success is from your perspective, how would you do that in a few sentences?
This is another one that I thought really hard about. And what I would say is, for me, it's been surrounding myself with a team. So by team, I mean home, friends, work, and then enjoy the ride. So the people that are in my life from a personal perspective are all people that genuinely love and support me. And I'm the same with them. So I'm not a believer in, I've not got hundreds of acquaintances and friends, because I don't, quite frankly, have the time to invest in that really. But all the people that are there are really important to me. And then from a team perspective, I would say never be afraid to employ people who are better than you, because that's where you'll learn and you shine through your people. So I think, not forsaking the fact that I'm really driven, a lot of it for me has been about building that network of people, both at home but also at work. And that's within the business that I work in. But I've also got an incredibly strong network within the industry and beyond, of people that I can talk to about various business issues or personal issues. and vice versa to get that outside perspective. And then I think once you've got that team, it's definitely just about enjoying the ride. So have a goal. Yeah. It's great to have a goal. Try not to be too strict on how you think you're going to get there, because it will never be the path that you think it will be. You've got to take advantage of those opportunities. Yeah. Take advantage of some that you think that wouldn't be for you, because sometimes the jobs that you do that you don't enjoy teach you more than the ones that you do. Well, they certainly yes. have for me. And yeah, and enjoy the jobs as you get there. So, you know, you will make it to where you want to go to, but don't be so tunnel vision on it that you miss what's happening along the way.
Yeah, that, you know, that is so true in terms of, well, we talked about it in your second one, didn't we, the squiggly career. Things will take you off path no matter what goal you set and what plan you set to go there. We do get distracted, we do get maneuvered off path by life happening, so you need that flexibility in the pursuit of the goal so that you don't get disheartened when it's not working out the way that you expected it to. And you just said a most beautiful sentence, Kelly. You said you shine through your people when you were talking about hiring people that are better than you. And if there's one thing I know about many, many leaders out there, it's that they really struggle. And it's that continuum again about wanting to be the best. They really struggle to take on people that are better than them because they might view it as a threat or whatever, however they view it. But that little sentence that you've just made, you shine through your people, has so much power in it in terms of your own capability, your own success, measured by the people who work for you. So just tell us, just for what, you know, a few minutes, just a little bit more about that, because it's just so powerful.
The more senior you become in an organization, the less you have ownership of a task as such. You have ownership of an area of the business, but ultimately a lot of time, particularly I would say in my roles, a lot of my time now is spent with my team. So it will be creating the vision, driving the vision, but doing that alongside and with the team. And you have to have people that are specialists in their areas to be able to deliver the overall vision. Mm. You know, you spin a lot of plates when you get to the C-suite level. So having those people that are those absolute stars at what they do, they're the people that are going to actually deliver the vision. So for me, I want to work close with those people, learn from them, but also listen to them, because they're the yeah. people that are going to be able to help us shape what we're trying to do at the top, because they're closer to it on yeah. a day-to-day level. So I like to think I'm quite an open, inclusive leader. I work very closely with my team at all levels.
Yeah.
And actually, I like to push them forward. So if an initiative that's been driven and led by the team, I want to bring them into that boardroom to deliver that. I don't want it to be passed to me to deliver yeah. because that doesn't give them the opportunity to shine, but also to grow.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So we're gonna pin that sentence then. You shine through your people and enjoy the ride. Those two elements for you are the key secret to success.
I would say so, definitely. And I think that I continue to learn from my team on a daily basis and other people in the industry. And if anything, that makes me more driven, because you know there's more to learn all the time. Yeah.
And from your kids as well. I mean, you must have days where your kids teach you things. I mean, mine do every day, it feels like.
Absolutely. I mean, my little boy was trying to teach me FIFA on the PlayStation yesterday. Definitely not going to go down as one of my skills. And my little girl is the boss in our house. So she's teaching us stuff all day, every day, because you cannot not listen to her.
Oh, she's like going to be taking after you. I can just see it now. She'll be in the C-suite.
Oh, goodness. I hope not. I'll be in trouble when she's a teenager if she takes after me.
Oh, Kelly, it's been such a joy to talk to you today. We've been sort of all over the place in terms of work, home, you as an individual, you personally, and then, you know, the secrets to success, which are as applicable in work as they are at home. So I just want to say a big thank you to you for coming on, giving it some thought as well in terms of your prep work, because it's made it a really interesting and valuable conversation with some nuggets in there that will be inspirational for many, I'm sure. So thank you very much for your time and your efforts in getting involved in our podcast. Have you enjoyed it?
Have, yes. Thank you so much for having me. I've really enjoyed it.
Well, I will let you get on with your day. I'm sure you've got plenty that you need to be doing, Kelly. And I will speak to you soon. And to our lovely listener, I hope you've enjoyed listening to Kelly and all of the wonderful stories that she shared. And we will see you for the next one.
And so, just like that, we're at the end of the podcast. I hope you've enjoyed your time listening today, and a big thank you from me for taking the time. I'd really love it if you would be able to leave a review, because it really does help us to get noticed. And if you haven't already, why not subscribe, and then you never miss an episode. I wish you a lovely rest of the day, whatever it is that you're doing, and I hope that you stay safe and well.